Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. Good to see you all here. Let's begin with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for this blessed opportunity to be in thy presence. And we pray, Lord, that thou would preside over this entire service here tonight. We pray that thy presence would be felt by all who are here. We pray, Lord, that thou would fill us with a great desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we ask that thy blessing would fall. We pray, Lord, that each and everything we do here would be pleasing in thy sight. Let thy anointing be here, and let thy perfect will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, why don't we start with number 15 tonight, The Windows of Heaven Are Open. Number 15 in the chorus book.
The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Praise the Lord. Let's turn now to number 110 and sing He's My Bread When I'm Hungry, number 110.
He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 he's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, Jesus. us. Jesus, he's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's still all right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise
God. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 68 and sing He's the Lord of Glory. Number 68.
He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 89 and sing God Can Do Anything. Number 89.
And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, as long as we're here on this page, let's sing number 93. I'm not sorry. Number 93.
I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. I've answered the Master's call. Well, Jesus took my heavy load, and now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I've answered the Master's call. Well, Jesus took my heavy load, and now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I've answered the Master's call. Well, Jesus took my heavy load, and now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry at all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you stand before the Lord Jesus one day and he tells you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I guarantee you, you're going to have no regrets and you will not be sorry. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to turn now to number 171 and sing, I'm Satisfied with Jesus. Number 171.
I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. One more time. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Oh, you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Well, it feels good to sing those songs, doesn't it? Praise God. Praise God. We're going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Give it a try. All right.
Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done. We thank Thee for the wonderful miracles that Thou hast done for us. For we stand in awe of Thee and all that Thou hast done, knowing that it truly is a miraculous thing that we can be here, that this church can be here, that we can come together and worship Thee. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to help us, continue to lead us, continue to direct us in all things. We pray, O God, that Thou would be sovereign, that Thou would lead us by Thy mighty hand and reveal to us Thy perfect plan. Give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy in mighty name. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We ask this, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, I see here that there's a song written out on an index card, and I don't know this one, but we'll go ahead and let Mom play it, and well, surely to the rest of you, but we'll just try to follow her lead on this one, because I've never heard this before, I don't think. So, all right, let's give it a try. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has given her to say. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, it's been good. Praise the Lord. Our Lord is here to help us. Praise the Lord. He knows how to meet needs. He knows how to change hearts. Praise the Lord. And you know, we were all out there. We were all searching at one point. We possibly didn't even know that we were searching. But what a wonder that the Lord saw us, and that the Lord had mercy, and that the Lord called us. You know, what a wonder. Oh, we have so much to rejoice in here. Oh, yes, if we got to that place where we found the living waters, oh, we have much to rejoice on. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and just ask God to have his way, to talk to our hearts. And I pray that there'll be some other hearts out there too that the Lord will meet with tonight. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for this wonderful privilege. Oh, God, these things that you have done for us, Lord, thy word that thou hast opened up unto us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we have so much to be grateful for. We have so many reasons to praise thee, Lord. Oh, God, you are our strength. Oh, Lord, you are our song. God, you are our salvation. Oh, God, you are that strong and mighty tower that the righteous run into and are safe. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Oh, God, for what you have done in our lives. Oh, God, how you have interacted with us, Lord. Oh, God, for we could be out there not knowing. Oh, God, we could be out there wandering around without any knowledge of thee, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, oh, Lord, that you'd have your way here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you'd direct this message, Lord. And, oh, God, you know, oh, God, the need, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, oh, God, how you would direct it, Lord, that it be unto thee, Lord. Oh, God, according to thy ways, according to thy purpose, Lord. Pray that you talk to our hearts. I pray, oh, God, that you'd, oh, God, move in us, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, God, oh, Lord, that you'd strengthen us in the inner man, Lord. Oh, God, for here we are, but this for this but short time, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd work in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let the devil have no ability to interrupt or disrupt, oh, Lord God, or confuse. Oh, God, but I pray, oh, Lord, that your spirit would have its free course, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd move here tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would move in our souls, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, that you'd intervene in the lives of those that know you not. Oh, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to be opening up our Bible to some Psalms here tonight, and we are going to call this the longing of the soul. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord made us in such a way that there's a place reserved in our hearts for the living God. And people try so hard to fill that void, because when the Lord's not there, there is a void, there's emptiness, there's a place, it's reserved for God. But so many people look to other things, look to other religions, look to other pleasures and in other ways to satisfy, to take away that void, to, you know, make life meaningful. But praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing when we have come in contact with the living God, the creator of this universe, the one who made us, who put that place within us, because it's reserved for him, that place, oh yes, that he set aside, that, you know, we would give to him. And truly that means our whole being, our whole life, our whole person, that we would give it to the Lord Jesus and let him come inside and dwell in us and take control of our lives and change us. And with that comes great hope. Oh, yes. You know, we don't have to wander around in despair and in longingness and, you know, trying to satisfy our life, you know, with the things of this world. And, you know, we know people seek it in so many ways. You know, so many, many people, you know, maybe go for entertainment to find, you know, some satisfaction. Or maybe they try to educate themselves to a certain degree and, you know, or whatever it is, lustful indulgences or power striving for money or for power, political places and all. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing when we realize the purpose of life. And you realize that we were made to serve the Lord, that He has given us a plan and a purpose to live in this world. And, you know, we can turn it over to the living God. We can draw nigh to God and know that He will draw nigh unto us. Oh, praise the Lord, and that He will give us a purpose in our existence, a reason to live. A reason to die, a reason to serve Him. Oh, yes, to fill that spot within the soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to some places here in the Psalms. Let's turn here for a moment to Psalms, the 84th chapter here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah, tells us here. And it begins in verse 1 by saying, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." And then it begins to describe the inner longings within. It says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right there in this chapter here. But, oh, it expresses that longing that's deep within, in the soul. And, you know, as I've already said, people try to fill that void in so many ways. You know, everything imaginable, it seems like. You know, that's why so many people go after drugs. That's why so many people go after alcohol. That's why I imagine they smoke cigarettes and God knows what else. But how much better it is to give that place to the Lord. Oh, yes, because there is a longing deep inside, as is expressed in this second verse. And you know, that fainting, you know, it is a wonderful thing when we can gather here together. I know in Ephesians, the second chapter, it talks about how that the Lord hath raised us up together. Praise the Lord, and made us to sit together in heavenly places. And you know, that's a wonderful thing when the presence of the Lord comes down, when we're meditating upon Him, when we're worshiping Him, when we're responding to the gospel. Praise the Lord, He comes down and He sups with us. Oh yes, He sits with us. He dwells with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said in the 18th chapter of Matthew, there am I in their midst. Praise the Lord, that's our God who put that longing and desire for His people to gather together. And yes, oh yes, there is even a fainting at times for the courts of the Lord. And praise the Lord, we do have His wonderful word. Sometimes I know, you go through these dry spells and you know, it's just so refreshing. Sometimes you open up maybe to a Psalms or many other places in God's Word and it just begins to speak to your hearts. And you know, you begin to feel like, you know, that quenching, that thirst is being quenched, you know, and that God is working in a mighty way. And he's, yes, able to help us as our flesh cries out for the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's also go to another Psalms here. Let's go to Psalms 63. And here we have a psalm that is a psalm of David. And it indicates that it was penned when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And this is what he is saying here in this psalm, Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just consider this here a bit. And here David is indicating here as these words are coming to him, oh, yes, that spiritual need that was deep within his own being. And he talks of how early will I seek thee. Oh, yes, you know, it's so important to seek the Lord. And, you know, whole days can be wasted if we don't give them to God. You know, if we just get up and do trivia, then, you know, we might not have a really productive day spiritually. But what a wonderful thing it is when we arise. And even he speaks of being early here to seek the Lord. And he talks about that hunger deep within, that thirst deep within. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Oh, yes, and how the conditions are spiritually in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oh, I know on a very hot day, you know, when that sun is beating down, and we've had some of this kind of weather this summer, as most of you know, oh, how wonderful it is to have a refreshing glass of water, how that refreshes the soul, but how parched we would be if there was nothing to sustain us, nothing that we could drink and be nourished and that thirst quenched there in the natural sense. But if that's true in the natural sense, let's also apply it to the spiritual being, because, oh, deep within each and every one of us, there is a need that needs to be satisfied. There is a thirst that needs to be quenched. And you know, so many people, as we've already said, do not know where to go. But here David is saying, to see thy power, thy glory. And that was a longing within him. Oh, yes, to see the works of God. Oh, yes, to feel his presence. To have that touch from the Lord. Oh, yes, the wonderful sensations that we have when we're in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, and we can know without any doubt that he is here. He is in our midst. He is walking among us. And we are his children. Oh, praise the Lord. It's being expressed here in this chapter. And he says in verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, yes, the touch of God, his love for us. Oh, his compassion, his mercies, his grace. It's better than life. The things of God are far better than the things that this world has to offer. And he says, my lips shall praise thee. Yes, because, oh, David had discovered something that was deeper than himself, deeper than life. And that is being in the presence of the Lord. That is knowing the Lord. Oh, yes, having those reassurances and knowing that he is with us and that we could draw nigh unto him. And so he says in verse 4 here, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, I don't know if you've got to that place where you can realize how wonderful it is to lift up your hands unto the Lord. Oh, yes, the Lord who comes down. It just seems like when you lift up your hands that all a great part of your inner being is being lifted up. Oh, yes, you know, Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations that he would lift up his heart with his hands. Praise the Lord. And he was in a very despairing time. He was in a very trying time. Oh, yes, there was trouble on every hand. I believe there in the book of Lamentations, the city of Jerusalem was being taken over. And oh, yes, the enemy had come in and he was seeing destruction on every hand. He was seeing blood on every hand. Oh, he was seeing horrors on every hand. But yet he knew that his God lived and was living. And in spite of that, he knew that there was a refuge in God. Praise the Lord. And oh, there was oh great relief when he could lift up his hands. Oh, yes, because, oh, yes, he could lift up his heart. Oh, yes, all those feelings of despair and forsakenness and everything else that can become so, oh, heavy upon a person can be lifted with the lifting up of hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know in the Psalms, it's also written, Psalms 141, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. There's something very special. It's like a way of giving our heart to the Lord when those hands are lifted. And Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 8. I will, therefore, that men everywhere lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Oh, praise the Lord. There's something about it. Amen. That, you know, that desire, yes, the need to pray. But as we pray, I believe faith works with the lifting up of hands. And praise the Lord, the psalmist here in Psalm 63 knew that. He said, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Praise the Lord. And yes, he went on to talk about the blessings of the Lord in verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Oh, praise the Lord. Something happens when we get to give our attention to the Lord. Oh, yes, when we begin to praise him with joyful lips. Oh, yes, he takes over. And some of these trials and tests and hard things in this life begin to disappear. Suddenly, they don't seem so dreadful. Suddenly, you can feel a response from heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's a satisfaction that comes to the soul. Oh, yes, you know, as he's being satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Oh, praise the Lord. That marrow that, you know, is part of our bone structure that, you know, without it, our bones would be empty. And you know, it fills that cavity, praise the Lord. But so does praise and honor to the Lord. Glory and blessing the Lord. All of these things. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Lord uses such to draw us close unto him. And oh, yes, to satisfy that longing that is deep within the soul. And of course, he's talking about these times when he would meditate. He says in verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. how things can change when our attention is drawn to the living God, when we begin to think of the verses that are written in the Bible. Oh yes, the wonderful words of life that begin to come to us, and we begin to dwell on those good things, even in the night watches. And remember the goodness of the Lord. Oh yes, His blessings and all the things that He's already done for us. And that realization, as He states in verse 7, because Thou hast been my help. Oh, our wonderful God, who is that very present help in the time of trouble. Praise the Lord. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we are held up by the strength and the power of Almighty God. Praise the Lord, His right hand, which talks about the power and the authority that comes from God. I believe David had found that place in God where, yes, he would follow hard after the Lord. Oh, yes, he would draw nigh unto God, and he would pursue the things that were of God, meditating upon the good things of God or remembering what God had done for him. And what a blessing it is. Oh, he knew that the right hand of God was sustaining him, was holding him up, oh, was giving him power and strength to endure. He was often running from the enemy. He was often, running to save his life. I believe that was most likely the case here in this 63rd Psalm. For begins to talk about the enemy, those that were pursuing him. He says in verse 9, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. These are wonderful things to know. Because sometimes, even often, the adversary will come down on us. Oh, yes. At times it will seem like the enemy is trying to drown us, that he's coming down like a flood, so to speak. But oh, to have this confidence in God, knowing that, yes, there's going to be an end to this pursuing. All those that have these motives and these intentions, there's going to be an end to those that seek after my soul, oh, with the desire to destroy it. Oh, there's going to be an end to it. They're going to go down into the lower parts of the earth. Oh, yes, there's not going to be hope for them if they do not yield to the Lord and give their life over to Him. Oh, it talks about how they will fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But praise the Lord, we who know the Lord, we have a reason to rejoice in God. Oh, yes, every one that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Oh yes, the enemy is going to be defeated. The enemy is going to be put down. Their mouths are going to be stopped, even though they might have a story that they try to spin. Yet, it's going to come to an end. And God knows the truth. He knows the heart. He knows the motives. He has witnessed it all. And praise the Lord. All their vain glorying, all their vain motives are going to come to an end. Praise the Lord, but we who know the Lord can rejoice in God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But here we see, yes, that great need, oh yes, that which is deep down inside, that thirst for the living God, that longing. Oh, yes, because this world is like a wilderness. Oh, it is dry. It is thirsty. There is nothing to sustain our spiritual being until we give our hearts to the Lord. And yes, we see what a longing was within the heart of David. Oh, that longing to see God's power, God's glory. Oh, yes, when His presence comes down. Oh, when His touch is felt. Oh, yes, those problems all begin to go. These trials of this life begin to fade. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when we sense the reality of our God and the strength that He gives us that we do not have of our own selves. At all, and all that strengthening of His power and of His glory. What a wonderful thing it is. Oh, thus we have reason to bless Him while we live. Oh, praise the Lord. We have a reason to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Praise the Lord. We have a reason to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It's also written, if we turn here for a few moments to Psalms 16 here. This is another Psalm of David. If we look at the latter part of it, it says in verse 8 here, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Of course, we know that this was a prophetic utterance that David brought forth. And oh, praise the Lord, he had that confidence within himself too, that his soul was not going to be left in the grave. I believe that he knew that God would raise him up, even though he saw decay, even though, you know, he came to nothingness, turned to dust. But yet he knew that God would, oh yes, at the appointed time, raise up his body. And he also knew that he would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Of course, this speaks of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, who did not see corruption, even though they put him in the grave. Oh, praise the Lord. That body of the Lord Jesus knew no decay. It knew no corruption whatsoever, because there was no sin. Oh yes, within the Lord Jesus at all. Praise the Lord. But here David is proclaiming it. And he says in verse 11, Thou wilt show me, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At that right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the path of life, the Lord showing us the way to walk therein. Oh, yes, in that knowledge that when we're in the presence of the Lord, there is a fullness of joy that we would never have otherwise. You know, it's no wonder people walk with their emptiness and, you know, don't really have that fulfillment, because it is in the Lord Jesus. And here the psalmist was saying, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. And you know, if we can sense His presence while we now have our being, while we now dwell here on this earth, in this body, how much greater is it going to be when we rest forever with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh yes, when He raises this corruptible body, oh, and it becomes incorruptible. This mortal puts on immortality. We rise to walk, oh yes, forever with the Lord. And to be forever in His presence. Oh, praise the Lord, at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What a blessing. Oh, praise the Lord. But as these psalmists all indicate here in their writings, We know that there is a longing in the soul that only the Lord Jesus can fill. And you know, it must have been such a marvel when Jesus walked this earth, began to show himself to the people. Of course, many did not see and understand who he truly was. But sometimes it was amazing who would see and understand. I think one of the most amazing portions of scripture is found in John, the 4th chapter. And here we know that Jesus found a place in the city of Samaria where there was a woman who had a hungry heart. And you know, in this world, there's all kinds of people. There's some people that really have no knowledge of that hunger within them, it seems. Kind of like that lost coin that was told there, that story there that Jesus gave in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, that, you know, the coin that, you know, was lost, and the woman looked and looked and looked until she found it. And then there was great rejoicing because that coin was found. And there's a lot of people like that, you know, they're out there. And they've not yet tasted that the Lord is good. And they don't know God, and they don't know where to go. They don't know where to look. But who knows? Maybe we can help them. Maybe we can say words of life. Maybe we could give them a track or, you know, a scripture or some kind of window of hope. Maybe, you know, so they can realize that they're lost and that they need to be found. And, you know, then there are people like the lost sheep that, you know, is out there, oh, caught in the thicket perhaps. And, you know, in a great predicament, but unable to help itself. And how many of us were like that, just, you know, out there in the world, and, you know, we didn't know where to go, we didn't know what to look for, and all at once, you know, we found ourselves caught, some dilemma, some kind of problem, some kind of situation, and we didn't know how to get out of it. Just like that sheep that Jesus talked about also in that 15th chapter of the book of Luke, you know, that was caught and, you know, needed somebody to help it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there was great rejoicing when that sheep was rescued. Just, oh, yes, it's, you know, that one that's out there, you know, knowing that there's got to be an answer, knowing, oh, you know, that they need help, but yet they know not where to go. They're just caught in the dilemmas of life. Oh, there was great rejoicing in heaven when that sheep was found, just as, you know, that lost soul that God and angels rejoice over when it is found. And then there are individuals like that prodigal son, also in that 15th chapter, who, you know, once knew the way, once had it, you know, a life somewhat, you know, it with knowledge. But yet, you know, they got mixed up in the world and, you know, started messing around and, you know, allowed the things in the heart to, you know, overcome that desire to serve the living God. And just went out and had a fling, you know, went and did this, went and did that. Oh, tried drugs. Oh, tried alcohol. You know, had women. Who knows what all. But praise the Lord, that prodigal son came to himself. Oh, he got down so low. And often that's the way the Lord does it. He brings people to a place where they just got to stop and reconsider what life is all about and where they are and the great need that they have. And it came to that prodigal, didn't it, that he needed to go back to his father. Praise the Lord. Go back to that place. Oh, yes, where he once had life. Where things were good, you know, where there were answers. Oh, yes, where things were provided for. Oh, praise the Lord, that father was waiting for him. just as the Lord Jesus is waiting for that one who has wandered away, who drifted off, who got lost in the complexity of life, or just, you know, got swallowed up with desires inside and, oh, maybe got mixed with the wrong type of people. Oh, the Lord has mercy, doesn't he? But here in this fourth chapter of John, we find a woman there. As Jesus came to Jacob's well, he'd been wearied with his journey. He sat on that well. It tells us it was about the sixth hour here in the sixth verse of John 4. And as he was there, there was a woman of Samaria who came to draw water from that well. Jesus surprised her by asking her for water. "Give me to drink," he asked her. He inquired of her, he desired of her. And of course, she was startled, because typically, Jews did not speak to Samaritan women. They didn't have any dealings with such. So she asked, "How is it then that thou, being a Jew," the ninth verse here, "asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." But Jesus had a great purpose in going to that well. And, you know, he went out of his way to seek this woman and those that she would bring unto him. And here it is in verse 10 that he tells her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Oh, praise the Lord. And of course, she doesn't understand that. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Oh, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, I tell you, as he was speaking to this woman, she began to sense that inner thirst within her very being. Oh yes, he was talking of something she had never heard of before. And I don't know that she had an inkling before Jesus came on the scene and began to talk to her. But oh yes, something began to draw her. It was the Savior. Here he was. It was the Messiah. And she's going to realize a great deal here as this conversation goes on. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus is going to test her a little bit. He says in verse 16, "Jesus saith unto her, 'Go call thy husband and come hither.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said unto her, 'Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly.'" You know, she's really being convicted as, you know, this conversation is going on, and you know, she's beginning to realize, hey, this isn't ordinary. You know, how would he know this? How would he know these details in her life? So she says in verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Oh, and the Lord goes on with more profound truth. "Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord. What words of life he was giving her. Oh, yes, you know, the assumption that, you know, you would worship if you were a Samaritan, a Samaritan in that mountain. And the Jews would worship at Jerusalem. But, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, there's a time coming, and it now is, that, you know, it's not going to be where you worship. You know, it's not going to be of importance, because the hour was coming, and it now is, he said in verse 23, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And what a wonderful thing. We don't have to go to a special city to worship the Lord. We don't have to go to a special temple to worship the Lord. Oh, you know, we don't have to be in a special place by any means to worship the Lord. But our God is a spirit. Oh, yes, and that means that he dwells everywhere. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And we can call out to him wherever he is, wherever we are. Praise the Lord, because he is everywhere. But the need is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, not vain repetition, as so many people do, not reading out of a catechism, out of some man's book. Not a prayer that, you know, somebody has made up and, you know, you're going to repeat it. But in spirit and in truth. And Jesus was offering her something that she had never heard of before. He is offering her waters. Oh, yes, that are everlasting waters. Waters that are living waters. Waters that would quench that thirst of the soul. Oh, yes, that hunger of the spiritual being. Oh, something that would satisfy deep within. Praise the Lord. And this is what he's proclaiming to this woman. And oh, yes, it's working in her heart. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And you know, it's so amazing. Most people didn't get it at all, that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Anointed One, that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one that the prophets had foretold of. Oh, yes, but oh, they didn't get it, so many of them. Even though he came among his own, how he came unto his own, they didn't get it, who he was, that he was the one that should come. But Jesus is talking to this Samaritan woman, and she is getting it. And he tells her very directly in verse 26. Jesus wasn't always, or even often, very direct with this. He said in verse 26, I that speak unto thee am he. He's telling this woman that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. Of course, when his disciples came and they had been gone to buy meat, they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And praise the Lord. It tells us as this chapter continues that many of the Samaritans, this is verse 39, of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman which testifieth, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, what a marvel this is. But here was this woman. Oh, yes. She came to draw water from that well. And she didn't realize inside, oh, that there was emptiness, that there was a need, that there was a void. But praise the Lord, when Jesus spoke those words of life, when he offered her living water and spoke of it, that which would come forth, oh, yes, she began to realize that she wanted that living water. Oh, she began to realize that this was something that would satisfy deep within, something that would go into the inner being and satisfy the soul. Oh, there are so many people out there that need the living water. Oh, yes, as the psalmist cried in that 63rd Psalm, oh, God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oh, that's the condition spiritually of so many people in this world, just out there not knowing the meaning of life and trying to find fulfillment some way or the other, trying to do some things and a lot of times even good things to help satisfy that need. Oh, yes, to do something that will satisfy the soul. But how beautiful it is when our Lord begins to offer living water, oh, something, oh, yes, that would be deep within, like a well of salvation, oh, yes, that you could go down so deep that you would never run out of water. You could never dig far enough, oh, yes, that it would expire, that there would always be more and more and more. And praise the Lord, that's the way it is with our God. There's always more of the Lord. Oh, there's always more of the living water that we can attain. And what a beautiful thing it is. Oh, praise the Lord. It says in the 6th chapter of John, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Again, he's trying to tell them, I've got something to give you that will satisfy the soul. I am the bread of life. Oh, I have something that I can give you that's going to feed you in the inside. It's going to satisfy your soul so that you don't have to hunger, so that you don't have to go here and there wandering around trying to find something, trying to find some religion, some tradition, oh, something with substance, oh, that would, oh, suffice to fill this need deep within. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, praise the Lord. If we turn another page over to the 7th chapter of the book of John, we see more that Jesus declared here. Here in John, the 7th chapter, verse 37, tells us, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, praise the Lord. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, you're speaking of that wonderful thing that would yet come forth. Oh, yes, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, he declared, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, it's going to come forth from your innermost being. Those that believe on me, as the scripture has said, and praise the Lord, he was speaking of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that gift that he was going to pour out. That gift that he did pour out on the day of Pentecost. Oh, that gift was for those that would believe on him. Oh, yes, that they should receive of it. It was not yet given at that moment. Jesus had not yet been glorified, but he's speaking, oh yes, in the near future, when he was going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know, after he was crucified, after he gave up that ghost there on the cross, praise the Lord, there was that pouring out of his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And what a wonder that was. Oh, yes, as it came forth. And oh, yes, those Jews and proselytes, oh, men and women from all parts of the earth were gathered there together on that feast day of Pentecost. Oh, what a day that was. Oh, yes, when that living water came forth from the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, when he sent forth his Spirit. Oh, yes, upon those that were waiting there in the upper room there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, what a wonder it was as there appeared unto them those cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Praise the Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Peter was able to stand up there. Oh, yes, and tell those that were gathered. Oh, yes, those that could hear them all speaking forth, every man in their own native tongues that from which they were born. And praise the Lord. Oh, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Oh, yes, we do hear them speaking in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh, and they were amazed. And some were in doubt, weren't they? Yes, and they said one to another, what does this mean? What meaneth this? And you know, as it is among most any crowd, there were those that mocked. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But I love how Peter, standing up with the 11, oh, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and upon my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord, that which had been proclaimed all those years before, praise the Lord, had now come to pass on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, just as Joel declared it. You know, you can imagine as they spoke forth, you know, words that they didn't know, things that they did not understand, you know, with a realization that one day it was going to happen, that it was going to come forth, that the Lord was going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord, what a wonderful day when that happened. Oh, yes, when God poured out of his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Holy Ghost came forth. Oh, yes, the Spirit that had been in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, came forth to dwell in the innermost being of his people, Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a wonderful gift that our Lord has poured out unto his children. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he poured it out. Oh, yes. And those were those living waters that he had declared that he was going to pour out upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord that he had declared we're going to dwell within his people, that which he had offered the woman at the well there in Samaria. Oh, yes, you know, you're going to, you know, have this privilege. You're going to follow the Lord. If you're going to seek the Lord, you're going to have this privilege of truly tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Oh, yes, those living waters, something that quenched that thirst within us. Oh, yes. Oh, something. Oh, yes, that satisfy the longing deep within. There's a fulfillment that the Lord brings up into our heart with the gift of the Holy Ghost so that we know in whom we have believed. Oh, yes, we're persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Oh, yes, we know that He has given us something that will carry us through and direct our lives. Oh, yes, and bring us, oh God, to that place where we need to be. Oh, that wonderful place that is reserved for us in the heavens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, what our wonderful Lord offered. Oh, that abundant life that He has given to those that will seek His face and come unto Him. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that longing in the soul. You know, and as it was for that Samaritan woman, I don't know what inkling she had within. I know the words of the Lord Jesus truly surprised her. You know, she must have been truly shocked, you know, by that those happenings that day. But yet the Lord went particularly, specifically to that area to intervene in her life. Oh yes, and to gather those that would come to Him because of her testimony and also believe on Him. Oh, praise the Lord, yes, that offer of the living waters. What a wonderful gift it was. And it tells us, oh yes, of those that found the living waters there in the book of Acts. And in particular, I'm just going to go here for a little bit here to the 10th chapter of Acts. Because in this 10th chapter, we find that there was a man. His name was Cornelius. He lived in Caesarea, and he was a centurion of the band called the Italian band, it tells us in that first verse. But yet, you know, he had a fear and a devotion for God. It tells us in verse 2 that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He was faithful and he was serving God to the very best of his knowledge. And he had some understanding, obviously. And you know, to such an extent that, you know, his whole household, obviously, also feared the Lord. And here he is. He's a Gentile. He's, you know, an Italian man. But God also chose him, oh yes, to be a recipient of living waters. It tells us in this 10th chapter how he saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. You know, I think this is so beautiful. God had noticed this man. He wasn't a Jewish man. No, he wasn't of that background by any means, but yet he had it in his heart to fear the Lord and to serve Him to the best of his ability. And oh yes, he was faithful in that which he knew. And God had noticed his prayers and the alms, the good deeds that he had done had come up unto God as a memorial. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Now God was going to tell him more. Oh, he had noticed this man who was searching and seeking and had a love for him and a reverence for him. And now God was going to share greater things with this man. And he is told in verse 5, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." And, you know, Cornelius heard this. And, you know, he complied. Oh, specifically, exactly, you know, as he was directed. And, you know, he didn't waste time either. It says, "And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." Oh, praise the Lord. And, you know, in the meantime, there's Peter. And God's got to get him ready because, you know, God wants to use Peter for this specific mission right now. But, you know, there's some things that Peter has to, you know, get rid of in his heart. Some things that would have been hindrances. And we know from the description here in this 10th chapter of Acts that, oh, there he was on a housetop. He was praying. It was, again, about the sixth hour. And you know, he was hungry and, you know, ready to have a meal. But, you know, while they were making ready, God was dealing with Peter. He put him in a trance, it tells us. And Peter saw this vision. Oh, he saw the heaven open, a certain vessel coming down, descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, and wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And, you know, Peter has never imagined such a thing. Oh, in verse 14 it says, "But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, God was preparing Peter and, oh, helping him to know that, you know, if God had cleansed it, then, you know, it was proper, it was good, it could be dealt with. Well, Peter doubted in himself, it says in verse 17. Now, well, Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. "Behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. He called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there." And, you know, here's Peter. He's still, you know, he's thinking on this vision. "While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Oh, praise the Lord. And then Peter did so. It says, "Then Peter went down to the man which was sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" And they begin to tell him, verse 22, "And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee." So Peter is beginning to understand, I have a feeling, just a tiny bit anyway, what God has been preparing him for. It says in verse 23, "Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man, it is a Jew, to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius begins to explain all the wonderful works of God. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. I wonder if there are people in this very hour that we live that have been doing their very best for the cause of God without real understanding, without knowledge, maybe not even realizing that Jesus Christ has come into the world to take away our sin and to give us hope and has poured out of His Spirit. How many Corneliuses are there in this world that we live in today? Oh, I wonder. I wonder. Oh, he said, verse 31 again, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. He was ready to hear and to obey. Oh, I think it's a marvelous story. As you know, it all unfolds here. And Peter is beginning to realize the reason for that vision that the Lord gave him. He's beginning to realize it all the more. It says in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. What a message is Peter was expounding unto Cornelius and those that were gathered there at his house. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Peter got so far as he is explaining to Cornelius that the Christ has come. Oh, that the Messiah has come into the world. And oh, yes, that they were witnesses of it, that which God had wrought. Oh, that Jesus that he had brought into the world, whom the Jews had slain and hung on a tree, but yet God had raised him on the third day and showed him openly. Oh, praise the Lord, this thing, oh yes, which the prophets had witnessed and proclaimed. You know it? Yes. Oh, the testimony that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. That message was interrupted. It tells us in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Oh, the simplicity of the Word of God. Oh, yes, expounded in just a, you know, clear, simple manner. Oh, yes, maybe not even a whole lot of details. But praise the Lord, here were hearts that were ready to hear, ready to receive. Oh, yes, hearts that had been living to the best of their knowledge, in the knowledge that they had of the living God. But praise the Lord, here came Peter. Oh, to declare the wonderful words of life. Oh, yes, to declare unto them. Oh, yes, yes, that there were living waters that they could receive. Oh, yes, that would fall from the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, that there was something. Oh, yes, that they could receive of. That would quench the thirsting in the soul. Paraphrased here in so many words. Oh, yes, as he yet spoke those words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And it was shocking. Oh, yes, because, you know, it wasn't expected. You know, Peter didn't know what was going to become of this situation. You know, God had, you know, oh boy, obviously brought him to this place for that moment and, you know, had prepared his heart in such a way that he was willing to go. But they were amazed. Peter and those that were with him, Jewish brethren, I would assume here. Oh, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, that which the Lord Jesus had offered that woman of Samaria. Oh, yes, that which he had declared that, you know, he was going to bring forth living water, that those that would drink of the living water should never thirst again. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, here are these individuals that were recipients. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing it was. You know, the Samaritan woman who was just out there, you know, living as she best knew. And here we have a devout man, a man that feared God, who is also living the best he knew according to the knowledge that was with him. But God sees the need. Oh, yes. He makes a way. He sees those people that seek him with all the heart, that draw nigh to God. Oh, that have great desire, that recognize, oh, that empty spot deep down within the inner being. Oh, that need for the living water. You know, something to satisfy the soul. Something that leads to everlasting life. Oh, there are those individuals that hear and understand and come and receive of the living water. And here we are tonight because, oh yes, the Lord has opened up our hearts and our understanding. Oh yes, and has caused us to seek him. Oh yes, caused us to draw nigh to God. And praise the Lord, as it tells us in the 12th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, and we live in this time that the prophet Isaiah was proclaiming here. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Verse 3 declares, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, what a wonderful privilege it is. Oh, something that satisfies the soul, that longing in the soul. Do you know people out there searching for God and not knowing what they search for? Longing for somebody, some hope, some purpose. Oh, yes, it would fulfill such deep within. But the Lord has made it possible, oh yes, that that hunger, that thirst might be satisfied, that with joy we could draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, that well that Jesus proclaimed to that Samaritan woman, that well that is so deep that, oh, it will never run dry, no matter what else is going on. Oh, praise the Lord, there is a God in heaven who made provision for His people. And praise the Lord, we can praise Him. We can rejoice in our salvation if indeed we have partook of those living waters, if I've been a participant in the wonderful salvation of our God. Oh, praise the Lord, that longing of the soul. Oh, praise the Lord, that longing that David spoke of, the thirsting, that longing for the living waters. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. He is so wonderful. Oh, yes, and if you've not yet partaken of those wonderful living waters, oh, praise the Lord, they are for you tonight. Oh, yes, we can drink of those waters, that well of salvation which will never run dry. Oh, yes, while we yet live here on this earth. Praise the Lord. There is an answer. Oh, yes, there is a way. Oh, yes, that we may receive something that will quench the hunger of the soul. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, that you've given us something that satisfies the soul, Lord, and quenches that thirst. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals to number 269. 269, Springs of Living Water. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply, how sweet the living water from the hill.
tried. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.